voluntary career gaps. This gap happens when you take time off for reasons which are unplanned. So if your company terminates your job, then it is not in your control. Citing personal health issues or having to become a caretaker for someone in the family. Involuntary, it comes up suddenly. You really have no choice. You have thought over all the options. See, when I face a problem, what do I do? This is a problem. What else do I do? These are the solutions. I leave the problem aside. I focus on the solutions. My solutions, I have three options. One is to accept it. One is to handle this problem. And the third is, ideally, what should I do with this problem so that the solution is implemented? So I will say, I want to implement a solution right away. What is the best possible solution? That's what I need to do. So when something which is not in your control, that's when we talk of involuntary career gaps, learn to accept it and learn to explain it in a proper manner. Thus, any time between jobs when you were not working is called employment gaps. During the interview process, you have to explain any employment gap to make sure that it is a one-time deal and you have to be convincing enough to do so. When we say you have to make sure that it is a one-time deal, you have to give them all the reassurance. You have to give them all the promises and live up to those promises that you will not take any more gaps. You have to make that very, very clear to them. Only then it will serve the purpose. Tips to explain employment gaps. Be honest. I always feel, you know, it is very important to be genuine and authentic. Integrity and honesty is always appreciated by employers. It is important for you to explain if you have any employment gaps. You know what this means also? Don't keep focusing on the employment gaps. Don't keep or put too much attention on the employment gaps. Learn to also discuss other aspects on your resume. If you want, talk less about it. Less about your employment gaps. If you want, talk minimum about your employment gaps, right? You can do that. So put in all the effort to see to it that you discuss that aspect in brief. There's so many other aspects you can discuss and talk of, right? So why don't you go with the flow? Also, what is very important that when we talk of employment gaps, put it forward in a manner whereby it creates a positive impression on the interviewer. If your own mind is having a negative impression about the gaps, then it will not go well with the interviewer. But if you put it forward in a positive manner, then it will go well even for the interviewer. The cover letter must explain the employment gap briefly with the relevant circumstances. So a cover letter will explain to the interviewer why you are applying for the job. It is a one-page document, right? And see, when you talk of employment gaps, the cover letter will also explain the employment gaps. That can also be mentioned on the cover letter, though that can be mentioned in the interview and that can also be mentioned in your resume somewhere, because on your resume, that can also be mentioned on your resume, because on your resume, when you have the dates, right? So you will have the year, which year have you worked from where? So that will also show up that if there is a gap, it will be evident. Voluntary work shows that you have remained active and engaged with activities, which made you utilize your time well. So, for example, I went for 8 years on Saturdays, only Saturdays, to teach English to the children. There was a proper school. It was in the middle of the slums, but a proper SSC school. So I went every Saturday. I went for 8 years to teach the children English. What was the purpose of this? I somewhere felt I want to give back to society. I somewhere felt I want to make a difference in the lives of others. See, life is not only about I, me, myself. One important point, that every Saturday, I would be ready by 8 o'clock. We would leave at 8:15, 8:30, and I would be ready by 8:15. Because it was like a commitment to me. It was like I'm going to college. Though I was not, I was going to that school to do voluntary work. But somewhere, it gave me so much of happiness and contentment. So when you explain this kind of voluntary work, now I of course did it for myself because I felt very happy. I felt the children had such big smiles. They would smile more than me and you in spite of living in adverse conditions. So what is important that when we do voluntary work also, when it shows you in your resume, it shows your level of dedication and commitment, and important that it shows level of consistency. I went for nearly 8 years. So that level of commitment and being consistent, being regular. And voluntary means not paid for. But I yet feel that that was such a beautiful phase when I was going at that juncture to teach. Next, we talk of transferable skills. These are called portable skills. These are qualities that can be transferred from one job to another. Example, effective communication, goal setting, problem solving. So these skills are very important because these skills are required for every job. Right? How do you manage difficult people in a team? So are you a people's person? Are you having management skills? How do you manage procrastination? People who procrastinate, they keep postponing. So how do you manage them? How do you make them realize a sense of time? So these skills are required by one and all in any field. That's why they're called transferable skills. And you have to understand that these skills will shape your attitude and your personality. These skills will be the defining factor for you to progress in life. Because the moment you realize that you cannot procrastinate or not let others procrastinate, the moment you realize that you want every work to be done 100%, that means in a perfect manner, the moment you realize that it is important to keep a check on your anger and to get the work done calmly. So a lot of traits which are required come under the concept of transferable skills. These skills can be strengthened since employers value such skills. Also, when I talk of transferable skills, we need to understand that somewhere these skills should be possessed by one and all who will be wanting to work. In fact, you know what? You need these skills even in your own personal life. You want to be perfect with what you do. You want to manage people. So whether it's on the professional front or on the personal front, how do you manage people, right? How do you ideally deal with them? All those concepts are important and have to be looked into. So transferable skills, they go deeper into understanding the capabilities that you as an individual has. So transferable skills help one understand his or her capabilities, and that is required, or those capabilities are required in all kinds of jobs. Next, professional development, acquiring new skills through training. When I say professional development, acquiring new skills through training, any certifications and academics pursued during the course of time when you are on leave will be an add-on to prove yourself. Because when you are on leave, it means that you have not wasted any time. It means that you have spent your time doing something for the betterment. You have spent your time doing something for your own progress. So any sort of certifications, any sort of course is an add-on. strong recommendations will help reduce the concerns of employment gaps. Definitely, if you have people who are willing to recommend you, person A who is working in an organization, he's the general manager, he has recommended you. Now, the general manager has recommended you, that means first and foremost, you as an individual have that hold, right? In the sense, you have that kind of image, reputation, and you as an individual have requested the general manager to give you a letter. So he is also in a position to do so, right? Next, we take online presence. Now, when I talk of online presence with positive explanations, emphasizing what you gained or learned during the time can also be done. So it can be on LinkedIn, since it is a professional networking site and it serves as a marketing tool. So LinkedIn, as said, it is a professional networking site. It somewhere provides you access to huge, network. You can talk of industry leaders, colleagues, mentors. When I talk of LinkedIn, you can also track companies, or you can probably visit the company pages, which will give you information about job openings. So somewhere we have to understand that online presence is important. And we're living in such a tech-savvy age, so it is very important to have appropriate social media presence. Now we talk of reason for job changes, lack of opportunity, lack of growth. So somewhere you are realizing that you're not able to progress any further. Somewhere you are also feeling that there's nothing more you can learn to move forward. Sometimes what happens is that within organizations, there can be interdepartmental transfer, which you are okay with because you feel that there are better opportunities there in that department, especially when you worked in this department for a long period of time. But that possibility too, if it is not there, then you might start feeling that I want to, move forward in my career. I want to aspire for more. I want to achieve my dreams. So you might just feel very stagnant, and you might feel that you want to take a shift and look for another job. So career growth is linked to goals, and each individual's growth is directly related to the personal goals and the organizational goals. So when I say each individual's growth is directly related to the personal goals and organizational goals, are you aware of your own goals, your personal goals? If you do not have any goals, then what is it that you are doing? Because somewhere you have to have some aim in mind, some specifications in mind to progress in life. So lack of opportunity, lack of growth, not having goals, all this will make you feel that you're moving around aimlessly. So it is better that you put an effort to move in this direction, whereby you get more opportunities, whereby you see progress. That is important. So if an organization does not provide career growth opportunities for the staff, then definitely the staff members will look elsewhere. Next is ineffective leadership. Sometimes skilled individual contributors are promoted into leadership positions or managerial skills, whether they possess those skills or not, and because of this, all others will suffer. See, if you have the skill of being an effective leader, only then you should be one. The first point that needs to be looked into, if you are talking of being a leader who is effective, that means that you are able to guide others, you're able to have appropriate interpersonal communication, you're able to develop a rapport, you're able to foster team building, you're able to foster a better relationship with one and all, you're able to bring about more of free flow of communication, you're able to guide others and give them the wings to fly. So these are important aspects. So if you possess these skills, but if you don't, then trust me, you are not doing justice either to yourself or others. Toxic work environment. Every organization may have individuals who face clashes, conflicts, disputes, and disagreements, which may lead to dissatisfaction of the staff. And this may lead to an individual quitting his job. So I take it in this manner. Wherever you work, wherever there are people, there will be conflicts. What should your role be? If you can walk away from a conflict, if it's possible, then that's fine. If you can't walk away from a conflict, but you are involved, then be a peacemaker. Focus on harmony in that situation. Focus on being an effective negotiator. Focus on listening to both the sides and then take a neutral decision if possible. So all this will help to bring a balance in that environment, which will then no longer be considered to be toxic. Right? Then I talk of promotions and career progress. If a career change is relevant to your position, but you do not see any further opportunity for progress, then you will probably leave the job and look elsewhere. Now, career change also because you feel that you've worked in a particular field and you realize that somewhere you are wanting to contribute much more in terms of the skills you possess. Career change also, it can be because you've realized that there is no further progress or growth in this field. So you feel now I have to do something further. Shall I pursue academics? Shall I focus on certifications? Then you might be comfortable with the idea that there may be a career change which is needed. Also, at times, you might feel it is okay to change your career, depending on the current situation, depending on your time. That means when I say depending on your time, sorry, depending on the current situation and depending on the time that you have to pursue the academics and skills for a career change. A career change may not always be a sensible option, but focusing on the other aspects that are required for the career change to happen, then it depends on you. But the most important reason for career change is because, in spite of your dedication and hard work, you do not see any growth. How to handle tough questions? When a question is tough, it means that you're not able to understand what to answer. Stay calm. Be resilient. Develop self-awareness. The moment I develop self-awareness, I will be able to handle that question. Right? So, if a particular question is asked, that means you need to collect your thoughts and maintain your composure. Get all your thoughts in an orderly manner. Don't get overtly emotional with a particular question. Right? I read something very nice. Don't give the remote control of your life to somebody else. That means just that one question, just that one statement impacts you so much. Come on, get past it. Right? Pay attention to questions that are asked and respond accordingly. Give your 100%. Be in the present moment and then respond. Show enthusiasm to whatever the interviewer is saying. Have that smile, be enthusiastic, be alert, right? And have your presence of mind. Definitely, you should know what you've said. You should not walk out of an interview and then tell yourself, gosh, I don't even remember what I said. I hope I've answered correct. That should not be the case. Conclusion. So it is necessary for job seekers to showcase their confidence, enthusiasm, and skills in a manner that will be convincing. Secondly, you have to skillfully be able to handle tough questions during an interview. Thirdly, communication is the key to stressful situations. Whenever you feel a situation is getting difficult to deal with, then ideally, you know, it will lead to stress. When you feel stressed, your mind is not focused. When you feel stressed, you are feeling demotivated. You feel low and upset. So it is best that you are at ease. It is best that you give them that confidence that you will not take any more employment gaps. You constantly somewhere express your willingness to be consistent with your work and achieve. Lastly, have faith in yourself and do not feel intimidated or stressed when asked certain questions. Don't feel so, you know, shocked or surprised. You can be asked something which you don't like, but everything doesn't have to go as per your wish, correct? Or in the previous slide, it was mentioned tough questions. What comes to your mind when they say that you have been asked a tough question? Anything that comes to your mind? So, for example, a tough question can be, what can you do for us which somebody else can't? So you immediately jump to, you know, answering by saying that you have this record of getting things done within deadline, you have this record of getting things done within that deadline. You set your tasks in an organized manner. You prioritize. You accomplish. So you can talk of what you've really done, which will make them feel okay. You're one candidate who knows how to get work done from others and who also knows that deadline is everything, right? So I think we need to understand ultimately that we do not need to feel intimidated or threatened by anything that is asked, and we should be able to express ourselves freely. We're done with this chapter. Thank you.